Hey, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Nicola.
And I'm Vlad.
So Vlad, why are we here? What is this?
Because they're recording a bunch of stuff for Build now. Build is coming and there is a lot of preparation, there is a lot of recording, there is a lot of rehearsals. And that's what they're busy with now. And even the studio we're usually recording in is busy.
That's right. You know, there's a priority. It's people at Microsoft that are doing important stuff, like Build session. There's people that are doing sessions that people care about, and then there's us.
Exactly.
I'm kidding, but yeah. So that's why we're in this. Actually, this is nice. I like this studio. It's much more, you know, we're closer now, you know, we get, hi, how you doing?
Yeah. And we can change the color of the wall.
Yeah, it's awesome. It only took you 20 minutes to find a color that you like, which was interesting to watch.
And in that studio, we can also change the color of the wall, but I don't know how to do it.
They won't let us touch the controls. And here, they don't know we're touching the controls, so we shouldn't tell them.
Okay.
Anyway, let's actually go to the stories now.
News.
What's the first story? So Microsoft Cognitive Services is finally going RTM? Is that what it is?
It's a bit different. They actually made some new APIs, which is a Face API and Computer Vision API and Content Moderator API, generally available.
So you can go into the Azure portal, you can actually have these and get the support that you need, and you can just all
exactly.
Cool stuff with them. Yeah.
There is a certain SLA, you can make money, you can charge money, you can pay money, of course, and this is what GA means.
Great, and there's a great blog post here that talk about some of the things that you can do with these APIs, like you can do even handwriting recognition, and you can do analysis of images with computer vision. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty cool stuff, and I think everyone that has never tried Cognitive Services and these APIs, it's a great way to get started because you can just go to the portal, you can even get started for free. Or if you've used these and now you want to use them in your application and get the support you need, you can do that now through the Azure portal.
Awesome.
It's great.
Love it.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Build, there is actually a great blog post. Well, it's a short blog post, but it's a blog post on the Windows Apps blog. It talks about some of the things that we will be talking about at Build. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of preparing. We don't have the schedule out of what it's going to be at Build or what session
Not yet.
But there is a new website now, and there's stuff that we can talk about. What are we going to talk about Windows? So there's a list of, we're going to talk about things about UI improvements and natural input. We're going to talk about things around mixed reality, et cetera. So it's good stuff. So, you know, it has also a link to save the date, so when you're going, you can do that.
Save the date, if you haven't done it yet,
yes,
obviously.
That's right.
Yeah, and switching gears, as they say, from just Windows to Windows and Linux. Recently, there was a DockerCon 2017 conference, and we announced and actually revealed the way we run Linux containers on Windows. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you want to run Windows containers on Windows or Linux containers, you can do it on Windows as well. You don't need Linux really, right?
I mean, no, this is great because we're getting up to a point where you can use whatever you want on anything, whatever you want. So you can mix and match things that you want. You want to run on Windows, you want to run on Linux. You want to run Linux on Windows, you want to run Windows. You know, it's really cool stuff.
So you run Windows so much that I can put Windows in the container on Linux and then Linux on Windows and Windows on Linux again.
Great. You should do that. You should maybe write a blog post about that, and then we can talk about it here.
It's going to be like
it's going to be great. I agree.
100-page blog post.
Anyway, let's kind of keep
going. IT pro to dev staff, Visual Studio. There is a new preview of Visual Studio, which is a Visual Studio 2017 preview 15.2. I love how those guys give names to
their
products.
Well, I mean, it sort of makes sense. Visual Studio 2017 is Visual Studio 15, technically. Mm-hmm. And this is 0.2, second update.
Exactly.
Right.
They have a lot of cool updates. My favorite, obviously, is that the gaming with Unity in Visual Studio now actually installs Unity 5.6, not 5.5. They also made a huge improvements with the CMake support.
That's right.
Yeah, they're now shipping new version of Xamarin with the Visual Studio. So it's all like catching up on products that are not part of Visual Studio like in the past, but that they're now basically part of Visual Studio installation. You can install them and use them.
That's right. We also have support for Xamarin 4.5 that's included now in 2017. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of cool stuff. There's actually has been a lot of updates for this preview in the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested to know what these updates are, there's a great notes, actually.
Release notes.
Release notes for Visual Studio. So if you click on the link below, it can actually take you to a huge list of all the preview and what's been done, and links to where you can learn more about them, which is really cool. So I think it's a great website to do.
Exactly. Moving forward with developer stuff, there is a great blog post by Jonathan Allen about patterns and practices in C# 7. So basically, there are certain recommendations and guidelines you have for all the, pretty much all the languages for programming overall. There is also a list of, like, I would say, well-known list of recommendations for C#, what you should do or what you shouldn't do. And this list evolves. And with C# 7, like, since the language introduces new kind of, I don't know, approaches to do certain things, Jonathan collected the recommendations for you to things to do in C# 7, with C# 7 and not like and things to avoid, right?
That's right. I mean, there's a good way to use things and there's a bad way to do things. You know, and as he says in his blog post, there's a lot of blog posts out there for what is new out there and what you can do, but there's not really blog posts on how to properly use these things.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you want to be efficient, it's great that we have these things, but there's a pattern of how these are best used and how they shouldn't be used. So it's a great blog post on how to actually do these things. And it's a great way, if you haven't learned about some of the new features in C# 7, it's a great blog post to learn about those as well.
Which, exactly.
And I've been using these since it came out, and I'm loving it. I've been using the inline functions and the pattern matching. I've been using the tuples, so it's great stuff. Yeah.
Excellent. Going forward, and NuGet news, and you are a NuGet guy in our team. So what's new in this?
Yeah. So NuGet now is talking about security. So there's been a lot of feedback around NuGet package identity and trust on how do you know which NuGet packages to trust and how do you know who wrote these NuGet packages or if it's not somebody trying to trick you into giving them your all your money and your livelihood. You know.
Exactly.
So NuGet actually has a great blog post on the feedback they received and how they're actually going around to solve it. And their approach is actually very interesting. First thing they're going to start doing is actually verifying certain developers that are publishing NuGet packages on NuGet.org. So that way you can be verified, you can have a verified account that developers that want to use your NuGet packages can see that you've been verified, so they know that they can trust this developer because the developer has been verified. And the second thing they're doing is they actually allow you to allow verified developers to reserve prefixes for their NuGet packages. So that way you can have, for example, .NET has the prefix of system dot. So only .NET can have a system dot prefix for their for their packages, which, as you know, if it's system dot, it's verified, it's from .NET, et cetera. So it's a great way to do it. It's a great blog post, actually, and it goes in detail of how they started thinking about this, what did they try, what failed, and how they're actually going around this. So definitely recommend it for anybody out there that's doing NuGet or actually uses NuGet packages, which is, I think, everybody almost.
Yeah. And so, if you have feedback on that, make sure you either comment that, make a comment to this blog post or send an email directly to Daniel. That's what he offers. Yes, that's what he offers.
Which is right. Now, I mean, speaking of .NET and some of the things that we've you know, the whole .NET ecosystem, .NET's been open source for a while. And there's actually cases where .NET team now has recommendation of using other open source libraries and packages that over using the built-in .NET classes. For example, is the SMTP client class.
Yes, and now we recommend that if using SMTP client, we basically declare it obsolete, and we recommend to use Mailkit, which is like a third-party open source implementation. We basically refer you to a different package. We refer you to a GitHub repo with the source of Mailkit.
Yeah, which is interesting, which is, you know, the community has been doing such a great job in building out the, you know, all kinds of third-party components and classes and things that a lot of times are better than what has been in part of .NET. So it's great that we're actually doing this and recommending where to find all this stuff. We've done the same thing with JSON.NET, for example. Mm-hmm. JSON.NET is another one that's recommended over the built-in JSON serializer in .NET, which is, you know, great. I mean, everyone has used JSON.NET.
Yeah, we've talked about that already, and the dependencies we have, .NET framework and like the entire .NET ecosystem has on JSON.NET. That's amazing. Yeah.
So if something happens to JSON.NET, I think the world's going to end.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of .NET and .NET Core, there's a great blog post out there by John Hilton. John Hilton is a blog post on talking about the different versions of .NET Core and actually the differences between the SDK mm-hmm. and the runtime, and how there's actually different versioning between the two, and how actually they play together. So it's a great blog post if you're building .NET applications outside of Visual Studio, mm-hmm. that is, using the SDK, to understand what .NET, what's the versions of the runtime and the SDKs, and which ones work with which one. It actually has a great table in here that actually goes through all that stuff. So it can be complicated. It really is. So it's a great
really
way that somebody
like,
has gone through it.
And, it used to be even more complicated, by the way. I remember reading like all these .NET books and documentation on how you manage different versions and mm-hmm. how you resolve conflicts and how they search for different versions of assemblies. This is crazy, man.
I agree. I know. And you know, it's a good thing we have these things.
Yeah, but it's not the .NET core and framework stuff is not as complicated as blockchain.
What is blockchain, Vlad?
Yeah, so the question what blockchain is, and if you have this question, if you still kind of have this question.
I can tell you, I've read about blockchain so many times, I still don't exactly understand
it. Rockford actually has an answer for you. So if you didn't read this blog post, you're going to go and read. Actually, Rockford explains blockchain in a bit different way, different from what people usually use for explaining it, because he explains it from a technical standpoint, basically from the implementation standpoint. That it's basically a linked list where like every next element depends on the, all the elements before, and this is basically what basically builds the integrity of the entire blockchain. He doesn't explain why, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But this is great to understand how things work. And the why is a very interesting question, a very complicated mm-hmm. question that probably he doesn't have any time to get into. But it's a great way to get started with distributed cryptography and distributed identity that they're doing with blockchain. So if you're interested in blockchain, there's actually a lot of blog posts out there mm-hmm. that are talking about how it's being done, why it's being mm-hmm. done. And it's interesting to see how some of the big players in the field actually doing blockchain stuff. Yeah,
including Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a blockchain platform.
It's very cool.
Anyone can use it. And another platform we have is actually Windows Holographic, right? And there is a great blog post about the fact that on VRLA, there was a conference about virtual reality in Los Angeles. We introduced a game for egg hunting. It was Easter, mm-hmm. and we let people play a game for egg hunting in reality. So imagine like you're basically looking for virtual eggs in reality. This is really like a mixed reality approach, and I love it.
It's not just eggs. Also, you can track of how many eggs you found. So when you found an egg, actually a dragon came out from the last one, and it actually lets you celebrate that you did this. So it's kind of playing a game, but in real life with real objects and physical and non-physical objects.
And it's actually quite complicated to build this sort of game level mixed with reality and put mm-hmm. eggs and in a good way, so it's interesting for you to find them, right?
Yeah. So it's a game, not just for little kids, but also for old men like us.
And for developers too.
And developers as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
So my pick of the week is actually related to HoloLens. Now,
again?
HoloLens is exciting stuff. So James Ashley actually is one of our MVPs for Windows development and natural and more personal computing mm-hmm. development. So he has a great blog post on Windows app blogs where he talks about how to actually use, how to build a telepresence application using a HoloLens device and a Kinect device. And he actually goes through the whole blog post of how he put this together using a lot of the mm-hmm. available tools that are out there. Actually, all of the stuff that he used was already libraries and toolkits that are already available out there for everybody to use, like the shared presence for mm-hmm. VoKinect and HoloLens, the whole toolkit, and some of the stuff that the community has built. So it's a great blog post to even just learn how you can do these shared experiences across multiple HoloLens devices, or you can do these experiences where you can have a camera, it doesn't have to be Kinect, a camera that's working with the HoloLens mm-hmm. and they're sharing all this data that's passing between them. It's actually a really cool blog post.
And you see like how powerful HoloLens plus Kinect are. Mm-hmm.
Or any other camera.
Yeah. Those are, these devices, they are powerful by themselves, but when you mix them, this is like a crazy powerful stuff.
And it's interesting to see what people think of to deal with these things. And you know, I'm sure we're gonna be a lot more cool stuff that come out with this, because you know, all this stuff is open source. So people, when it's open source, they can do whatever
you
they want with it.
Just fork it and make it better.
Exactly. We just combine multiple, I guess, Lego boxes and put them together. Yeah.
And my pick of the week is a bit different this week. Because this week there was a Facebook conference. It's not quite a developer conference, but it's mostly focused on developers. F8, they call it like F1, F2, and like F7, what was last year, and this year is F8. And this conference was almost all about augmented and virtual reality. They actually shipped Facebook Spaces, which is kind of, you know, Facebook in VR, basically, where we can talk to your friends, and you can chat, you can share different pictures, you can share videos. Like, it's a cool thing. It's all in VR, so it's like a real social VR. Mm-hmm. They open source Cafe 2, which is like a you know, the Cafe is a network for it's a toolkit for doing deep learning on different kinds of networks, neural networks. But this time they started optimizing it for different platforms, including mobile platforms. And actually, and Microsoft and Qualcomm and Intel already committed to make Cafe 2 better on their kind of platforms with different, you know, with different way to accelerate it. Obviously, NVIDIA is there too. So that's a huge step forward. But the biggest thing during the keynote and during the entire conference was obviously their new camera platform, which is essentially an augmented reality platform with a lot of features like SLAM, where you can track your 3D environment using just one smartphone camera. And it's all running on smartphone. That's mm-hmm. amazing. And there is also like a fully augmented reality platform where you can mix your things with the real things. Like you can add the steam on top of your real cup, or you can create another cup that's next to it. That's amazing. And obviously they like the games part of this story, and that's quite cool. And I like to see that huge companies, they continue investing. So then there's a HoloLens, there's Facebook's thing, there's Google invest in it. And it creates a good ecosystem for us developers.
It's right, and it's actually a platform that developers can build on top of. They don't have mm-hmm. to understand how SLAM works or how augmented reality mm-hmm. sensors thing work. They can just build like, oh yeah, there's a table here, I can just put this on there, and it works. And they actually do all the hard work for you, so you don't have to worry about it, which is amazing.
It's very important because, you know, developers, they always want to focus on kind of, how they say, business logic, but it's a weird thing in this case, right? For on the logic, on the actual gameplay, on the scenario they're trying to deliver, versus just like a low-level thing and the platform itself.
That's right.
Excellent. It was an exciting week.
It was. We haven't been in the studio in a while, so it's great that we can actually dust off the chairs and actually mm-hmm. get the studio working again. But thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, and have fun.
Bye.